Welcome back to the Saturday Show here on 97.5 FM, the KSL Sports Zone. Excited now to be joined by our typical co-host here on the show, Michelle Bodkin. She was down in Las Vegas for Pac-12 Media Day yesterday, taking a lot of sights and sounds, doing a lot of good reporting at the same time. Michelle, thanks for hopping on. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me on while I decided to stay a little while longer in Vegas.
Now, so Michelle, obviously there is a lot of storylines coming out of Pac-12 Media Day. We talked about a number of them earlier on today's show, but give me kind of your overall sense of what you consider to be the major storylines that came out of Media Day.
Yeah, I mean, for starts, I think we have to go with, you know, what's happening with the media deal, What's happening with the Pac-12 as a whole. Is they kind of. This is the farewell tour, and this is kind of the final time it will ever look the way that it has for the past decade or so. And you know, it's really interesting that outside sounds so different than on the inside.
Okay.
And again, it's one of those things. You know, I tend to believe the people that are actually in the room, that are having the conversations, that. You know, actually know what's going on there. And so it sounds like, you know, some interesting things have kind of taken place over the last little bit, that Kwiatkov and the remaining 10 schools feel very confident and positive about. Obviously, we have to wait a little while longer, it sounds like, before we find out what exactly they know that the rest of us wish we knew. And the interesting thing was, actually, I was on the phone a little bit throughout Media Day, took a couple of calls, people calling me and kind of relaying a very similar message that's a little more from secondary places. So it's very interesting, you know, what's going on there. But, you know, I think bottom line is Pac-12 is going to survive at least for the next 5 to 7 years. We'll see for sure. We'll find out for sure, you know, what they're talking about and what they know about. But that was a big headline. I thought, you know, at least from a more local perspective, you know, the talks and the conversations about the fact that Utah was not voted number one, despite being the reigning champs 2 years in a row. And I think that was an interesting, you know, kind of take, and just getting the feel from Utah, Whittingham, Cam Rising, you know, how they think and feel about that. And, you know, they said the right thing, obviously, but you could tell that, like, you know, they feel like they're better than where the media placed them. And so does that add motivation, you know, for this 2023 season? Are they going to work a little harder than we've maybe, and not to say that they don't work hard, but like, is it going to be extra? Are they going to put a little more into it? Because, you know, they've kind of been doubted. They think two other schools are better than them. And then of course, you know, the depth and the talent that currently resides in the Pac-12 was another big topic. You know, you have six quarterbacks that have thrown for over 3,000 yards returning this year. You have the Heisman Trophy winner returning. You have a guy that's won the conference two seasons in a row returning. You know, you have a guy that was leading the nation in yards and passing yards last year by a large margin. And so, you know, it's interesting seeing the quarterback talent there. It's going to be interesting, I think, to see if the defensive talent steps up, because you have to deal with some of these guys and the things that they can do. And it's just, I think, you know, that I would say those are probably the top three storylines for me from Pac-12 Media Day. But I'm excited. I thought it was a great Media Day. I thought the excitement in the room from everyone involved was really palpable. And I think we're going to see some really great, crazy, amazing football in a month.
Okay, Michelle, you walked us right up to the edge. You said you got phone calls from people. Like, come on, fess up. What dirt did you get for us?
You know, I had some figures thrown my way. I'm going to keep those to myself for the moment, but, it kind of went along with what George Kwiatkow excuse me, Kliavkov alluded to. I thought the timing was interesting. Actually, one of them was a text, I think the day before. Someone sent me a hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, watch this. I had a conversation with someone involved more on the network end of it that had some interesting things to say. And then the other one was a little bit more within the Pac-12, called me during Pac-12 media day and relayed some things that they had been told. So it's very interesting. I'm curious, you know, again, it's interesting that within the Pac-12, the message is just so different than what everybody wants to try and relay or make it sound like it is that's not involved with the Pac-12.
Fair enough. Michelle Bodkin checking in from Las Vegas. She was down there at Pac-12 Media Day. And Michelle, you talk about the fact like Kyle Whittingham as well as Utah players are kind of saying the right thing. I got the same vibe that you got. Like, yeah, they're saying the right thing, but you can tell there's an edge to them. They're the two-time defending champs, but at the same time, I think you and I both agree, Kyle Whittingham loves nothing more than being able to play up that underdog role.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, like I said, I thought they handled it well. I thought they answered the questions well. But there were just like these little, and I think especially with Cam, just these little like glimmers of light of, you know, well, we'll see about that. It kind of felt a little bit like we know something that you don't know that you wish you knew. Does it play out that way? Does it work that way? I mean, obviously there are some things to consider with Utah football. You know, Cam, it sounds like is on the right track, is going to be good to go. Barring anything crazy happening. So, you know, you have things like that. And then of course the schedule's really hard. Just making sure that, you know, you're on each week, and really focused and ready to go. But you know, if those things play into their favor, I don't see any reason to doubt them. They certainly seem very confident. So,
now, Michelle, obviously there's a lot of excitement just about the talent in the Pac-12 this year, especially at the quarterback position. Kyle Whittingham made a comment. I don't remember exactly to who, and I apologize. I probably should have sourced this a little bit better. But he essentially said he thinks it's the best crop of quarterbacks, essentially since Utah has entered the conference. I think that first year that they were in the conference had a pretty good collection. Do you feel like the depth and talent of these quarterbacks, Cam Rising right among that group, that they'll be able to go out there and in some ways elevate the overall image of the Pac-12 this season?
I mean, if they go out and do what they did last season to even get them the hype in the first place, yes. I mean, the bottom line is, and Witt kind of addressed this too, and it was interesting kind of hearing him concede the point. There's that saying, offense wins games, defense wins championships. Mm-hmm. Whittingham said that it's kind of opposite. And, you know, that the numbers kind of say it, that that's not the case right now, that it really is offense is what gives you the edge. Defense is probably what wins you the games at this point. But I think, you know, right now people are loving great quarterback play. And so when you have some of the best of the best of the best in the country, I think the Pac-12, and Utah's included in that, you know, the Pac-12 is boasting like five or six of the top 10 quarterbacks in the country. Mm-hmm. I mean, people want to tune in and watch that. So yeah, if these guys ball out the way that they did last year, if that continues through this year, and if they elevate that play even, because, you know, they're all a year older, wiser, they've seen a few more things. I think they know that, you know, all the eyeballs are on them. So they're obviously going to maybe even put in some extra work to be extra good. If all that plays out, yes, I think that does really, really help the profile of the Pac-12.
Now, as you were walking around doing reporting, talking with people, did you get a sense for maybe a team that's not necessarily on everybody's radar that you think could make some noise this season? Like, I guess a quote unquote dark horse in a way.
Yeah. I mean, that's so hard when you have like five teams that are kind of vying for it.
Yes,
you know what
yeah,
I mean? That's
yeah.
basically half the conference already. I mean, they're kind of the ones that are part of the conversation, but I mean, I would kind of go to Oregon State maybe a little bit. I think while they kind of are in the conversation, I think there is a little bit of, well, that's so sweet and that's so cute. And, you know, they'll probably be really good, but I don't know. I think a team like that is scary dangerous. And we've again, talked about this a little bit. We've seen that with Utah in the past, you know, those 2015 and 2016 seasons, they were right in the mix of all of it. And had a real legitimate shot if not for a touchdown against Oregon was 2016. And 2015 just got a little bit banged up towards the end, didn't have the lucky bounces in the health department, I think, to finish the year in 2015. You know, if everything plays out right for Oregon State, I think they could be dangerous, especially, again, when you kind of treat that team as, oh, that's so sweet and so cute, like the plucky little team that's kind of in the middle of nowhere. You know, that I would maybe choose them for my dark horse, to be honest.
Well, I don't think you're alone in saying that, because you and I think both agree. They had 21 of 22 positions that felt like they were elite and capable of winning this conference. Just so happens that the one it felt like they were short in was the quarterback position. I don't think I'm saying anything out of turn. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, no, I think a lot of people made that argument. And now, I mean, this year's a little bit different. I believe they have to replace a little bit of talent on the defensive side. Mm-hmm. You know, is it a plug and go, or are there going to be some growing pains there? That's, you know, something we're going to find out. But it does seem like they have improved that quarterback situation. And you know, we'll see if that, along with, you know, whatever they have to kind of fill in on the defensive side of the ball, if they can get that thing rolling. You know, I think Jonathan Smith is a very, very good coach. I think Oregon State is a hard place to recruit to and find talent and keep talent. So you have to kind of, again, it's kind of a Utah situation in a way, but maybe a little even more so just because of, you know, where Oregon State's located and some of that kind of stuff. You really have to find the right guys, and you really have to build the right culture. And I think Oregon State's been doing that.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Now, in terms of just the overall kind of setting and how everything went with the Pac-12 Media Day, what was your evaluation of is it Resorts World? Is that what they call it?
Yeah. you know what? The hotel was really nice. My room was incredible.
Awesome.
I thought the amenities around there were crazy, crazy awesome. I wish they would actually maybe, and maybe this is something, I actually ran into Mark Harlan briefly, and he was asking me how it was going. I was like, oh, I'm like a little overwhelmed because it's just everything's going on at once, and I'm not sure if I'm getting everything I need to get, and at the same time, I feel like I'm overloaded with information, and I don't know if I'll ever get through all of it. And he goes, I think we should maybe make this a 2-day thing. I was like, it was at one point a 2-day thing. He's like, we'll maybe talk about this. So Mark Harlan, if you're hearing this, like, please make the 2-day thing happen. I think it would just be a little less chaotic and a little easier to get all the information we need. But as far as, you know, trying to plow through, you know, 12 schools, and then just general conference issues in a single day, I think this was the smoothest delivery the Pac-12 ever had. And so, I think Vegas was a great move.
Okay, well, here's the thing. I think most of us, it's kind of an open secret that Chip Kelly kind of led the charge to kind of pare it down to the one day back a while back. And so, Mark, if you were listening, go to Chip Kelly and tell him to, you know what, just suck it up, dude.
Well, Chip Kelly's going to be gone, so it's not Chip Kelly's problem.
Good point. Yeah, good point. He's out. So, yeah. So, yes, I would highly encourage them, yes, moving forward, go back to the 2-day thing, like, because it seems to work better. You're right. It allows more of a flow and everything. And you're not, like you said, you're not feeling both completely under and overwhelmed at the same time as a media member.
Yeah. Well, and I think for the players and the kids, too, like, there is something to just getting it all done in one day, right?
Sure,
like,
yeah.
There's some pros and cons both ways, but I just think the 2-day system, just it's a little more relaxed. I don't think there's this pressure to just keep things rolling and trucking and moving and you start one thing and then you get distracted because something else is starting. And it just, I think overall it probably is going to be better for everyone's mental health.
Fair enough. Well, and the other thing about it is it allows you to kind of, as you mentioned, kind of in a way relax. You're not having feeling like you have to be everywhere at once all at the same time mm-hmm. to get everything. And that's the thing about the Big 12 media days. It felt like, okay, there's nice. One day you can focus on what you need to get from that day. Second day, it seems to work out better. And we'll see how they do, but it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Now, talking with Michelle Bodkin, obviously typically the co-host here on the Saturday show. She is down in Las Vegas, down there for Pac-12 Media Day. And Michelle, I saw some reporting from The Athletic. I think it was Stuart Mandel saying that he said at least two members of the current conference are adamantly, I think is the term he used, opposed to any conference expansion. Your take?
I mean, that's interesting. I did see that on Twitter this morning. I need to go investigate that a little bit further. I've seen some sleuthers maybe come up with they felt like it was Cal and Stanford. And in my mind, that kind of makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of the elite academics of an elite academic kind of conference in general. So I could kind of see them maybe being a little bit worried about that, maybe not wanting to bring in people that aren't up to that standard. I think it's going to be interesting to see what they choose to do. There is a part of me that's like, you know what, like keeping it just those 10 schools would be really dope and fun. And I mean, for being perfectly honest, kind of the top dogs are in the conference since it's been 12 are remaining. And that's, Oregon, Washington, and Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And Stanford has had their moments. So, it's kind of one of those things to me that the great competition that we've been seeing over the last several years kind of remains. So do you want to add anyone else to that? But if it's a numbers game thing, which again, it's kind of confusing to me because we're talking about teams that aren't necessarily the biggest name brand in the area that they reside in. But it's all about subscriptions and potential eyeballs that could be drawn to, that these TV networks like. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can get the number with just the 10 remaining schools. I kind of suspect that they probably stay with the 10 remaining schools. If they can't get the number, then I expect to see, people being added, whether whoever the two schools are like it or not.
Well, I'll help fill in the cracks for you a little bit. I'll read it directly from Stuart Mandel's report. It says, one reason San Diego State has no clarity. Two league sources told The Athletic on Friday there's not unanimity, if I can get that word out of my mouth, among the presidents to expand at all. It would take an 8-2 vote in at least two schools, one of them to be assumed to be Oregon, don't currently support it. The rationale being they would compete with fewer schools for the Pac-12's berth in an expanded college football playoff, not to mention sharing CFP revenue with fewer mouths overall.
Yeah, and I mean, there is absolutely an argument to be made for that. So I think, that may be part of the deal that they're still going to have to talk about and work on and hammer out. But, again, it's going to be interesting to see what goes on. I think regardless of whether they add more schools or not, the conference does, again, I think that was an overreigning point, is that the conference feels confident they're going to get a good deal and that it's going to surprise some people.
That makes sense. All right, Michelle, before we let you go, what fun have you had in Vegas so far, and what fun is there planned to have?
I met up with some of the SiriusXM Pac-12 crew. They threw a little welcome party thing, Thursday night before media day, and I met up with a friend that works for the Pac-12 networks, and we went to that, and then we went to dinner and just kind of goofed around and had some fun. And then I'm actually staying here for a few extra days because I have family that lives here that I haven't seen in a while, and my mom and my dad and my aunt and my uncle drove down yesterday since I was already here, and we're planning on getting together tonight and having some fun.
Best thing you've eaten so far?
Oh, my gosh. I am so embarrassed.
Oh, Michelle, you're disappointing me.
Okay, well, so the best thing I actually had, the Pac-12 lunch was phenomenal. They had this cheese gnocchi that I seriously went back and got seconds, and I don't typically do that.
Okay.
But I was like, oh, my gosh, it was so good. I love gnocchi in the first place. Whatever that cheese sauce they did, it was, like, so buttery and cheesy and good. And then it had, like, portobello mushrooms in it and like cherry tomato. It was so good. It was so, so good. I wanted to hunt someone down and like get the recipe. Like, it was legit good. But as far as where I went out, so my friend and I went to Bubba Gump's.
Hey, okay, here's the thing. I got no hate. I love Bubba Gump's. I'm not going to lie.
I think it's funny. Like, it's, and it's not horrible food, but no. I mean, when you consider the things that you can get in Las Vegas, yes, it's also not the best.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, if you got time, I'm partial to a place called Din Tai Fung. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's in the Aria. It's Taiwanese. It's straight up from Taipei, like, and absolutely okay, phenomenal. But
you told me about this before.
So, yeah, like I said, if you get a chance, get over there and try it. But hey, here's the thing, Bubba Gump's, it's just kind of a fun, unique environment because you know as well as anybody, you were there. It plays. Exactly. Just, it plays off what it's supposed to be, and that I can totally get with the fact that they don't try to act like they're not something that they aren't.
Exactly. You know what? I got a commemorative cup out of it,
okay,
so we're
all right.
Good.
Yeah, there. That's all that matters. All right, Michelle. Well, hey, safe travels back when your vacation is over, and of course, we'll look forward to talking with you down the road. All right.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be seeing you next Saturday.
There you go. Michelle Bodkin, big thank you to her for taking the time to join us here on the Saturday Show. As she mentioned, she'll be back next Saturday with talking all things going on in the sports world at that point. Big Ten Media Days will, in theory, be in the rearview mirror. I think we'll be done with Media Days at that point. So then it'll all be focused on training camp and the upcoming season. And cannot wait. All right, coming up next, we are going to flip back over, talk about some of the other topics on today's show we have not had a chance to touch on quite yet. In 5 minutes of, this is the Saturday Show right here on 97.5 FM, the KSL Sports Zone. Welcome back to the Saturday Show here on 97.5 FM, the KSL Sports Zone. Big thank you once again to Michelle Bodkin for checking in from the road down there at Pac-12 Media Day. Interesting to hear her talk about the fact she got some phone calls during Media Days talking more about the media rights still. And here's the thing with that. I just get it done at this point. I think we're all some fatigue around all of it, but at the same time, it continues to be a topic because it continues to linger out there. That's kind of the interesting back and forth on all of this. But got a couple things we still need to talk about. This is 5 minutes of, as we typically do here, as we near the end of this Saturday Show, talking about some other topics we have not had a chance to talk about. Let's start off checking in on the Open Championship. Brian Harman has got a 6-stroke lead at the Open. He took a 5-stroke lead into the third round today, finishing at 10 under yesterday. John Rahm made a run, shooting 8 under today. Absolutely incredible showing for him, shooting a 63. He sits currently tied for second alongside Cameron Young and Sepp Straka at 6 under. But Brian Harman, 6 strokes clear of the field. He is still out on the course. He is on hole 14 currently, so there's a chance he could extend that lead. Young is on, just finished 17, so he's on 18 now, and Straka is on just finished 14. So these guys want to make a move and get themselves into any realm of striking distance. Now, striking distance is all relative in the Open Championship. It'll be interesting to see if anybody can chase Brian Harman down. We have seen big leads at the British Open fall by the wayside in past years, but Harman's been playing really, really good golf the past 2 days, and we'll see if he can finish strong here in round three. Sarah, I got to ask you a question. What's your interest level in golf just overall? I know that you're not necessarily the biggest golfer or golf fan on the station, but where do you stand on it?
Very low.
So you're not watching it?
You, no.
Okay.
I see stuff on social media for it, and that's basically sure. my consumption of golf. My okay. grandparents uh-huh. are huge golf fans. They watch it all day, every day.
Good for your grandparents. I'm
yeah,
proud
they
of
used to love it, like playing it and stuff, because, you know, Florida has some good golf courses. But yeah, I don't.
Some good golf courses?
I don't play.
Some would say the best golf in the world is in the Sunshine State.
It's true. I don't play golf. I don't really watch golf.
You need to get in. You need to play.
I know. The most I get, the closest I get is to like Top Golf, so, okay. or like mini golf.
Fair enough.
You know?
All right.
So.
Okay. Yeah, it's the thing about the British Open is it's such a unique environment because it's of course over in England or Scotland, but at the same time it's a different style of golf. A lot of these guys coming from the PGA Tour, they got to adapt their game. And the thing about a ton, you look at some of the leaderboard, we've got two Americans in the top 10. The rest are all international. We've got Spain, Sepp Straka is from Lithuania or something like that, Victor Hovland from Norway, Antoine Rosner from France, Jason Day from Australia, Shubhankar Sharma from India, Tommy Fleetwood, Alex Fitzpatrick, both of them of England, and then just outside the top 10, you've got Tom Kim from Korea, Thomas Detry from Germany. So it's a very much more international flavor when it comes to the Open Championship because it's just a different style of golf. So we'll see what round four holds tomorrow. Any of you who have been watching all of the action for the British Open, I got to commend you because you've been staying up all night long to watch this. It teed off. The first shots were hit. It was 11 o'clock Wednesday night here along the Wasatch Front. That was obviously Thursday morning up there at Royal Liverpool. All right. So, Sarah, second question. How much are you into World Cup golf in the U.S. women's national team? That side, I was awesome.
World Cup
way.
Soccer?
Yes.
Okay. You said golf. So I
I'm
was
sorry.
Like, wait,
World Cup soccer. I
was
apologize.
Like, wait,
yeah.
is there something yeah, that
sorry.
I don't know?
World Cup soccer, U.S. women's
love,
national team.
Love watching the World Cup.
Did you watch last night?
I didn't because I was.
Oh, you were here. Duh.
Very. Yeah. I was working, unfortunately. But I caught a lot of the highlights. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm a big World Cup fan. I like soccer in general. But yeah, when the women play, it's just, they're just so good. Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, and the fun part about it is the U.S. women's national team, they are a true world power. They're going for what would be a first ever three-peat in World Cup, both on the men's and women's side of things. We've seen back-to-back champions, but never seen a three-peat. They have a lot of competition, obviously. And the other thing about this, I actually had a chance to go on KSL News Radio yesterday, the big station around here, and talk about this. They asked me, what's the big storyline around the Women's World Cup this year? And I said, injuries. Essentially every contender, I'm talking England, United States, the big dogs in this tournament have had one, two, multiple major injuries to what would be their top lineups. And that's kind of the big storyline about this, ACL tears and the like. And it'd be interesting to see how these teams adapt to it. Now, the U.S. women's national team, they have got incredible depth, and they have a nice mix of both veteran talent. We just saw Megan Rapinoe. She got her 200th career cap last night entering that match. You also have more Alex Morgan, who has just been absolutely sensational for more than a decade. But then you have young players. Trinity Rodman got injured last night. I saw this on social media. People are like, Trinity Rodman, did you guys know that she is the son of, not the son, the daughter of Dennis Rodman? I'm like, yeah, everybody who pays attention has known that for like years now, people. Anyways, Sophia Smith, there's a lot of good players. We'll see how it goes, but there's a lot of competition for the U.S. women this year. Germany, England,
Brazil.
Brazil, though, here's the thing. Marta has kind of been the face of Brazilian soccer, and she's out injured, and it just doesn't feel like Brazil has the same cachet that they typically have. But we'll see. It'll be interesting. U.S. Last night beat Vietnam 3-0. Now, Vietnam should be happy because the last time the U.S. Women's National Team opened a World Cup in 2019, they played Thailand. Do you know what the score was in that one, Sarah?
Didn't they blow them out?
13.
Yeah.
13-0.
And everyone, there was like controversy surrounding that.
Yeah. It was sportsmanship. Really? This is top level soccer. This is the best. Let's talk about sportsmanship in another realm. Anyways, but yeah, the women's team, they will be back in action here in a few days' time and obviously making that run towards the three-peat. Now, also on the soccer front, Lionel Messi made his debut last night for Inter Miami and the stories write themselves. You saw this free kick, Sarah.
Oh, yes. Of course I did.
95th minute of what was supposed to be, they said there were like 2 or 3 minutes of stoppage time. There were some obviously extra stoppage in stoppage time. He lines up for a free kick, and as you would expect Lionel Messi to do, just bends it right into the upper 90 and wins it for Inter Miami. Just incredible scenes. Like, who's who of the sports celebrity world was there last night?
Not just sports. I heard Kim K was there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She was there. She was sitting there on the front row. LeBron James sitting behind her. And
Serena Williams.
Serena Williams was there. Just crazy, crazy scenes. I tagged a photo that I saw of that celebrity. They were all taking pictures of Messi. It was as he was coming on to the pitch to sub into the match. And Javier Morales, Real Salt Lake legend, who is now an assistant coach. He was the interim coach for Inter Miami while they figured out their situation with their head coach. Well, he's standing there, doesn't have a photo in his hand. He's doing his thing. He's coaching. And I'm like, hey, look, it's Javi. All these other celebrities in the picture. But I'm just having fun as an RSL fan. But nonetheless, fun to see that. And here's the thing. We'll see how Messi does. He's 36. He spurned, if you believe the reports, $200 million annually to go to Saudi Arabia. He's going to make between 50 and 60 million based on the reports about his MLS deal. We'll see how he does. And the other thing about this is Inter Miami is dead last in Major League Soccer right now. They have like about a 2% chance of making the playoffs. But if they want to, quote unquote, lift a trophy, you want to have some silverware, they are 2 wins away from winning the U.S. Open Cup. And that championship, if things work out the way we want them to, could be played here in Salt Lake City with Lionel Messi taking on Real Salt Lake. We'll see. It'd be interesting. The RSL's got to go to Houston and win. This comes up next month in that semifinal U.S. Open Cup. And Miami, for their part, has to beat Cincinnati on the road in that matchup. And then, yeah, if that all plays out, RSL could be hosting Inter Miami in the U.S. Open Cup championship match. And it'd be fun to have that. By the way, RSL also in action tonight. A new competition called the League's Cup. And a lot of people are like, what is this, Jake? And I'm telling them, like, It's essentially a new format to have Liga MX, which is the Mexican top division, and Major League Soccer compete head-to-head in a World Cup-style format. Now, Real Salt Lake is going to host the group stages here at America First Field in Sandy. They take on the Seattle Sounders tonight. It'll be a 7:30 first kick, 6:30 pregame. I'll be on that with Spencer Warren and Lauren Beck. Looking forward to that. And then Wednesday night, Monterrey, one of the big fish out of Mexico, comes to AFF to take on Real Salt Lake. And the other thing about this, Lloyd Cole, our leader now, our PD here at the station, was asking me, Jake, what's with this schedule? Because RSL does not resume Major League Soccer action until August 20th. It's because of this tournament. Essentially, if you make it out of League's Cup pool play, is what they're calling it with these first two games, then you go into a knockout bracket. And that could extend all the way up until just before they resume Major League Soccer action. I'm interested to see how RSL does with this. There's some talk that teams actually may rest players in this format for their actual seasons. It sounds like, from what I've heard from RSL side of things, they fully intend to pursue this. It's a chance to lift silverware and celebrate a championship. I'm interested to see how it's received. Now, Lionel Messi scoring last night was the opening match of that League's Cup. It was not Major League Soccer action. So that's not a bad way to open the tournament, to have maybe the best player in the world go out there and shine. All right, so there you go. Some of the other topics we have not had a chance to touch on. Now, Sarah, let's play some of these comments real quick. Caleb Williams, I meant to get to this earlier on today's show, but the reigning Heisman Trophy winner, he was down there at Pac-12 Media Day, and he joined our crew here on the Zone, and I hope we can hear at least part of these. He was, let's just put it this way, a little hot under the collar, it felt like, a little perturbed about some of the line of questioning, but this is a guy who did lose twice to Utah, and you can tell it's stuck in his craw. Here's some of those comments.
Caleb Williams, USC quarterback, sitting down with us here on 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good. Nice to see you all again.
Yeah, it's good to see
very
you, man.
Good to see you.
You're a different guy than you were a year ago.
When
yeah,
we were my talking. Hair's gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
and
you're
carrying a little hardware with
you,
too.
Yeah, I do have a little hardware, but hair's for sure gone.
So what's that like? Walking up to the podium, grabbing that trophy, and having that moment in your life. Just take us in. We never get to experience it.
Yeah. I don't get nervous for games, during games, 2 minute. None of that really ever gets me going. But I wasn't nervous the whole time. I practiced my speech a bunch of times. I felt like I had won. And when they switched off, I can't remember the dude's name, but when it went from the lady to the dude and then he cracked a joke, I was like, I started to get a little nervous. I was over it, though. I was over it, like, to say the name. And then he finally said the name, and then all the nerves went out the window. I felt like I was going to go kill the speech. Walked up there, grabbed the hardware, said my words, and, you know, went on for the rest of the night with my old lineman.
Oh, yeah. See, that's the way to celebrate.
We were in the hotel room the whole time just celebrating.
You're talking to a former O-lineman, right there, so he's stoked about that.
I like what Coach Riley said. He was asked, well, what does a returning Heisman quarterback work on? And he said one word, everything.
I was about to. I thought you were going to ask me. I was going to say everything.
That's what I got from the boss.
I was going to say everything.
I mean, what does that mean?
It means like everything. I got to make sure my footwork is detailed. Got to make sure I'm progressing within the mental game. I got to make sure that I'm out there leading better than I was last year. If I got to be hard on the guys, I got to be hard. If I have to be empathetic about the moment and understand the situation, I got to be better at that. I got to be better at being a better brother and human. It's just all of the things that add up to the end of the season, so that you can go, you know, 1-0 each week. And if you go 1-0 15 times,
there you go.
You have the thing that you want. So, you know, just focusing on being better and progressing. I always say it's the hardest thing to do is beat yourself and do something twice. And so, I tend to like the hard to do the hard things and like to, you know, compete against the hard things and be in the tough games or be in those moments. And so, we'll see how it goes this year, but it's gonna be a good one.
Does the Utah game have a little more juice this year because of what happened last year?
The game itself?
Yeah.
No. Do I have a chip on my shoulder?
Sure.
A little more juice?
Yeah.
This whole year? Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Simple.
Why not admit it if it's true?
Yeah. I mean, if that's a feeling and that's something that drives you, because, you know, you watch that Pac-12 championship game and that defense, they got after you a bit. Mm-hmm. There were some hits. Yeah. What was that like being in the pocket in that Pac-12 championship game and feeling the pressure?
It was cool. Cool, calm, and collected. Got up faster than the dude that hit me did. It's always my thing. If someone's going to hit me, get up faster than them. Proves that the hit meant nothing, didn't do anything to me. Even with a bum leg, I was all good. Got up faster than them and kept trying to play the game and go win.
How hard was that decision? Because I got to imagine there was conversations between you and coach saying.
No, there was no conversations.
None.
No.
You just knew you were going to go.
Yep. Yeah, there was not at all. Told them that I'm not coming out. We're going to go win this game. And it didn't go in our favor. Things happened. And, things went downhill towards the end of the game. But, no, there was no conversation. There was no rebuttal, no anything of me coming out the game. I was good. I mean, I think my highest completion percentage of the year that game. If you look at it, I think a one of. All good.
Your coach.
And it kind of devolved from there. You can go back and listen to the entire conversation, but you could tell that is stuck in his mind. He wants nothing more than, I think, to stick it to Utah. Utah will go to the Coliseum this year to play that game in October, but man, Caleb Williams, he's got an edge to him. I can appreciate that as a competitor, but man, I don't feel big. I got it faster than them. Did you, though? Let's go back and watch the film. Anyways, just it made me chuckle. I wanted to get some of those comments in. Obviously, he's the reigning Heisman Trophy winner. You're talking about the fact that he doesn't get nervous in games. He got nervous when that whole thing was going down. But congratulations to him on having the hardware and obviously leading kind of the charge here as the Pac-12 tries to have a resurgent year just overall as a conference, and he wants nothing more, it feels like, than to lead USC to some glory here in the final year of the Pac-12. And also, hopefully make the playoff as they after that he likely goes to the NFL's presumptive number one overall pick in next year's NFL draft while the USC Trojans join the Big Ten Conference. All right, coming up here in just a moment, we will round out today's show with some final thoughts on the program. This is the Saturday Show right here on 97.5 FM, the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Saturday Show here on 97.5 FM, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Hatch here, running things solo today, but Sarah Hossain, who obviously produces Jake and Ben, does a fine job with that, is sitting behind the glass. And Sarah, we see a lot of crazy stories in sports. Did you see the story about Florida A&M University this morning? I know you're a Florida native, but did you see what happened to FAMU?
No, I did not.
Okay, so I just saw this. I was just reading this. So Adam Rittenberg wrote this from ESPN. Florida A&M has suspended all football-related activities following the release of an unauthorized rap video, which was filmed in the team locker room that contained explicit lyrics. Coach Willie Simmons announced the decision Friday night, hours after the release of, quote, "Send a Blitz" from rapper Real Boston Richie. Don't know who Real Boston Richie is, but Simmons said in the statement that while he supports free speech and musical expression, the language in the video is, quote, "not consistent with Florida A&M's core values, principles, and beliefs." I said that Florida A&M has started an investigation into how the football locker room was accessed for the filming of the videos. Well, here's the thing. I'm sure your players were like, hey, yeah, let's do this thing. Come on over. Anyways, and the use of licensed Florida A&M apparel that violates agreements. So
yeah, that's rough. They probably would have been fine if they didn't do it on school property,
yeah,
wearing
affiliated
logos.
Yeah, but so it says the video, which was posted to YouTube, shows Richie in the locker room area wearing a Florida A&M shirt and wearing team helmets. Several Florida A&M players appear in the background of the video. Okay, investigation how the locker room was accessed. Hey, Mr. Richie, do you want to come on in? And
yeah.
Bad
deal. They have codes and cards. I'm sure most of them do. So
yeah, I guess Real Boston Richie's real name is Jalen Foster. He's from Tallahassee, Florida, where Florida A&M's campus is located. He performed before the Rattlers' homecoming game last season. So
Tallahassee, that makes sense.
Yeah. Wow. Shade from the Tampa native being cast toward Tallahassee. Well, explain more about your thoughts on Tallahassee.
It's just where FSU is.
Yeah, what's wrong with Florida State? Come on now.
And I'm not saying the characters that come out of Tallahassee are the worst, but they're not certainly the best.
Well, okay. No offense to Jameis Winston, but when you go to a Publix and steal crab legs, the headlines kind of write themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
He's also done another plethora of things that are questionable that I don't support, but
sure.
Yeah, so that's why.
Did you grow up a Florida Gators fan? Like, what were you?
I did.
Okay.
I did, yeah. Florida Gators was my team.
Okay.
We did watch a little bit of BYU as well because my parents both went to Rick's College, now okay. BYU Idaho. And
Vikings.
But, yeah.
Old Rick's Vikings, yeah.
My dad's salty. He has a hard time donating money to the school because they got rid of their athletics program.
And
he's like,
that.
I didn't go to BYU Idaho. I went to Rick's.
Good for him.
Yeah.
As he should.
Because he played football, so.
Okay.
Yeah, he was a...
By the way, I had the privilege of meeting your dad earlier this week. It was great.
Yeah.
Is he back home now?
Yeah, he's back home now. Cool. Yeah, he was just here for a week, but...
Still, awesome. By the way, Simmons, they said that the team has had the open season September 30 against Jackson State. I wonder how long this is going to last in terms of the suspension, because you're supposed to start training camp in just over a week's time.
Make those boys run.
Something, but yeah, just you don't expect stories like that to pop up. But hey, that's
I mean, it's Florida, so if it's gonna happen anywhere, it's probably gonna happen
good point.
In Florida.
Florida man, the legendary stuff. Like when weird things happen in the world, usually check to see, okay, did it happen in Florida?
Yes, and here's the thing, weird things happen everywhere, it's just after Florida man. People only focus on the weird things that happen in Florida.
Okay, here's the thing. The Florida man stuff, they continue to like one-up themselves. That's the thing about this. That's the only thing about it. At some point, you think it would die out. No, it just continues to deliver time and time again.
You just have to be careful with what's fake and what's real out there, but yes.
That might be the best point made on today's show overall, of the entirety of the show. Very, very well done by you. All right. That'll do it for us. All right. Hope you guys have a fantastic Saturday. Reminder for you guys that we have RSL action coming up tonight, 6:30 pregame. RSL taking on the Seattle Sounders in the inaugural Leagues Cup at America First Field. Also, Salt Lake Bees action as well will be on 1280 The Zone. If you want to tune into them, taking on the Las Vegas Aviators over at Smith's Ballpark. Fireworks game tonight, by the way. If you're looking to go out to the game and enjoy some fireworks, you can do that as well. So until next week, make sure you keep it locked here on The Zone throughout the week for all the coverage you can muster. And until next Saturday, we will talk to you guys again. Then this has been the Saturday Show right here on 97.5 FM, the KSL Sports Zone.